And so the Holy Spirit is your advocate. And he's going to guide you. And then all of a sudden, did you know that in a nanosecond, he can give you reams of information? And you'll never be the same when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you. It's like, wow, I'm different now because of that. And that's why it's important when you're reading the Bible, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're not a Christian, it's mumbo jumbo. It's like, what is this? But the Holy Spirit has been given to you and me as a tutor, and he guides us into all truth.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. One of the biggest issues in society today is the matter of disinformation, fake news. You turn on the TV or go online and you have no idea who to believe because everyone is saying something different. There seems to be no standard of truth. Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us that there is a source of truth you can trust. Here he is with a message entitled, The Absolute Truth.
Absolute truth. How do we protect that? Is it going the way of the dinosaur? What's going to happen to us if there's no one steady fulcrum upon which everything orbits? What will happen to our universe? What will happen to our families, our lives, our nation? It was several years ago where two of the grand sequoias that were once the guardians of the forest of the Redwoods collapsed in a slight windstorm, not big. People began to pour in to find out what was the reason for this. It's a catastrophe. These giants that put down their roots before the United States was named a nation. Spiring high above the forest floor, these guardians of the forest fell face down. After great discovery and exploration, Deb Schweitzer, who was a park ranger, was asked in an interview, what was the cause of this collapse? Her answer, foot traffic. Foot traffic? You mean foot traffic? Well, she said, you see, these beautiful, amazing giants are visited daily by thousands, not five, not 10, not hundreds, thousands of tourists. And when they walk around these spiring, gargantuan giants, not 2 feet, not 5 feet, thousands of feet, trample the root system. And you do that day after day after day after day. And after a few years, it's so loosened the root system that in a slight windstorm, these giants collapsed. Well, what are you going to do to remedy this? The question was asked, because there's more out there that are being trampled. Their root systems are being compromised. What are you going to do? The answer, we're going to put fences around the most venerable ones, the biggest ones. We're going to put enclosures around these trees so people stay away. We need to protect the root systems of the trees. When I heard that and read that article, I thought how much more important it is for us as Christians to put a sacred enclosure around our root systems so that we can sustain the minor winds or the larger catastrophic winds that every single one of us are going to face. So today, we're going to talk about protecting the root systems of our lives. As we talk about devotion. Now, some of you are here, and this is going to be the first time you're going to hear this message. Others of you, I've shared this before. I'd like this to become an annual message, because since we started, in fact, this time last year, did you know that we have added 800 new people to New Hope West? 800. And they may have never heard this, but for some of you, you said, well, I've heard it before. I don't need to hear it again. Oh, yes, you do. You will hear it every year until Jesus comes again. You say, but I've heard it before. Listen, I tell people secondhand gold is as valuable as new gold. And in fact, you're going to hear it again and again because we need it to be fully protected in our root systems. We must be reminded. In fact, Peter said it this way. Let's read. It'll come up on the screen. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? Would you read it? Go. Therefore, I will always be ready to of these things, even though you and have been established in the which is present within you. If we're going to have the truth deep and rooted within us, we need this stuff we need to be reminded again and again and again, lest we forget. Because we forget. How many of you forget often? All you over 50, raise both hands. So we need to be reminded. Let's say you're taking golf lessons and your coach is opposite you and you let this right arm fly up and he says, oh, tuck that right arm in. And I'm not a good golfer, so I'm not the best example. But so you tuck it in and he says, good. Now the next time you swing, you let this thing fly again. He goes, let me remind you, tuck that right elbow in. And if I say to him, you already said that. I said, yeah, I'm going to remind you again. Let's try it again. And if I let that thing fly out, he's going to say, let me remind you again, tuck that right elbow in. And if I say, you already said that, I heard that before. If he's an impatient coach, here's his first reply. The lessons are over. You're done. If, however, he is a patient coach, he'll say, I'm going to remind you of that until you get it right, until you start to do it. And God, by His Spirit, is a patient tutor, and He's going to remind us until we start to do it. So today, we're going to talk about the absolute truth, and we want to do whatever we need to. Now, why do I remind you? Why? Well, mostly because you don't have what it takes when you start. When you start, you might have the excitement, you might have the energy, you might have the spontaneity, but whenever you start something, you don't have what it takes to finish. You don't have what? You don't have, here it is, the wisdom necessary when you start. You start a new endeavor, new job. You might have the excitement, but you don't have the wisdom necessary to become all you want to be. When you say, I do, at the altar, and they put a ring on your finger, you might have the romance. You might have the excitement, exhilaration. Oh, she's beautiful. But you don't have the wisdom necessary to be the husband that you want to be at that moment. You don't have the wisdom necessary to be the wife that you want to be at that moment. You have to garner that along the way. We say, well, how in the world do we get the wisdom? Well, two ways. Number one, you can get wisdom from consequences. How many of you are a little wiser today because of consequences? Yeah, yeah. You go to work, your friend comes to work, your coworker, his hair is all disheveled, his shirt's wrinkled, he's starving to death because he hasn't had breakfast, and two black eyes. And you say, what happened? I forgot my wife's birthday yesterday. And I write that down. My wife's birthday is, and I am wiser. You see, the first way to learn wisdom is consequences. The better way to learn from someone else's consequences. And so the Bible will give you wisdom. And there's the first word. We put kind of a crossword puzzle on the back of your notes because we want you to search out the word. And the first word I want you to search for is wisdom. There it is. And I'll help you right there. Wisdom. Circle that. We're doing this only to keep your attention in one way, but another is a kind of a subliminal learning technique to say to you that if you want God's best, you need to search for it. The best gems will not be found on the surface of the ground. You better bring a pick. If you're going to go for the diamonds and the jade, etc., the best, most precious stones, you got to dig for it. And the same is true with the Bible. Some people say, well, why isn't it just more obvious? No, because God wants you to dig, ask, have inquiry. Question. You've got to have hunger. You're going to be shaped by your hunger. And if you don't have hunger for something, you ain't going to achieve it. Isn't that right? Do you know that God actually shapes you by your hunger? In fact, one of my prayers is, God, keep me hungerable for you. Because that's what shapes you. You lose your hunger for God, you drift with the world, and you'll eat anything. You'll eat cardboard. But if you're hungry for the things of God, you will search for it. And God says, now to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The others will get in parables. You has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And it's by revelation. Some people say, well, I want it kind of step by step. Mm-mm. No, you're going to get it by revelation. When you dig, the Holy Spirit's going to say, this is it. You'll hear a voice behind you, inside of you, the Bible says, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So keep your heart attuned to the things of God and search for it. And when you do, God begins to give you wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs chapter 4 says it this way, the most principal thing of all is gain wisdom. So how does he do that? Did you know that every problem you will ever face has already been faced by someone in the Bible? And they've left clues behind as to how you wisely can navigate the same. Every mistake, every problem that you will face has already been faced by somebody in the Bible, by both saints and scoundrels, by heroes and zeros, and has been recorded in the Bible, and they've left clues behind for you and me, and they await our audience. But if we keep this closed, the wisdom of the ages will remain hidden. But God bids us to come and sup with him at his table, as it were, so that through the word of God, we gain wisdom, the wisdom of the ages. My best friends are in the Bible, and so are yours. How often I've conversed with David about leadership, about temptation, about how success can get to you and cause you to be entitled and think that you're immune from the temptations of the evil one. And how much more wise you must be, the more fruit and success God grants to you. Not less, more wisdom is needed. So you must press in even more. How often I've talked with Moses about how to deal with times in the desert. How when you do something wrong and you have a tendency to run, will God chase after you? Will God still offer you a call, a high calling after you've blown it so bad? And after you've even hid the evidence in the sand, would God still chase after me? I've often talked with Samson about how could you be so stupid with the ladies? They're my best friends, and they're yours too. And they await your audience so that as you read and see, they'll be able to tell you. Now, how many of you, again, with the raise of hands, are a little wiser today because of some consequences of your mistake? Raise your hand. Yeah. So now you can put them down. Now, listen carefully. I can choose to make those, if I want the wisdom that you just exhibited with the raise of hand, I can either gain that wisdom by repeating your mistake. Isn't that right? Raise your hand again. How many of you have learned some wisdom from a mistake? Raise your hand. Hold them up. I can repeat your mistakes, and I'll be as wise as all of you. Now, okay, hold them up. Or I can go and take the wisdom that you learned from those mistakes and deposit it to my account. Now you can let your hands go down. Some of you are sweating already. And I can garner all the wisdom that you've accumulated from your mistakes, and I learn at your expense. I think that's a lot better of a way to gain wisdom, don't you? Now, consequences is a great teacher. But before she gives you the wisdom that you should have had prior to your mistake, before she deposits that wisdom, she demands that you make the error. And her tuition is very high, as some of you might know. Her tuition is very expensive for this class. It might cost you your money, your mind, your kids, your marriage, your family, your legacy, your faith, and maybe even your life. Very expensive. On the other hand, God put these men and women in the Bible to save you, your family, your legacy, your life. Do you understand how precious God is? And these men and women have left clues behind. So if I can garner the wisdom from your mistakes and deposit them to my account, can you understand that I will now be able to have wisdom beyond my experience? I will be able to have wisdom beyond my years. And here it is, I would gain the wisdom of the ages. And God knew that the people of God would require that kind of wisdom, that quantity of wisdom in this era and in these days, that he gave us 66 books filled with heroes and zeros that leave legacy lessons behind so that we might gain the wisdom of the ages. And yet the devil will keep you from the Bible because he knows that in it is the wisdom of the ages. The devil's going to do everything he can using foot traffic to loosen your roots so that you too will fall and fail. We must put sacred enclosures around our times in the Word of God because that's our root system. The wisdom of the ages, that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 119. Let's read it together. It'll come up on the screen. Would you read it with me? Go. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. Watch this. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the because I have observed your precepts. Did you know that you will gain the wisdom of the ages if you will not only read but heed the Word of God? And he will say it to you again and again and again until we do it. You say, well, why do we need to do all of this, you know? What is he doing? The second word I want you to write down or find is the word prepare. Prepare. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to face next week? Would you raise your hand? How many of you believe that? Okay, here's a tougher question. Are you ready? Here it is. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to face next month? Okay, here's the hardest. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to face next year? Yeah, but here's the problem. He does, you don't. But he wants to prepare you with the wisdom necessary to navigate that. See, Mom, you don't know what you're going to face in 2 months with your daughter or dad with your son. The questions that they're going to have, the inquiry, the confusion that they're going to be wrestling with because they're hearing their peers and the media say things, even the government say things that run counter to the Word of God. And it destabilizes right and wrong for them. It destabilizes truth and error. Now they don't know if it's red or blue or green. And they're going to need someone to help them. Now, the Holy Spirit knows you're going to need to have the wisdom necessary to help them resolve that. And so he prepares you. In fact, the scripture says it this way. In fact, this is the job description of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read it up here. It's out of John 14, verse 16. Would you read it? Go. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to and be forever. Who's that? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have. Yeah, here's the cool thing. The Bible is not a step-by-step book. It's not like here's step one when your daughter says this, step two, now say this, step three. No, it actually gives you what they call not education, but revelation, where all of a sudden your wisdom is ignited and you don't have a step-by-step, but I know what to say because I have a flood of the Word of God in me from daily times in the Word. And now I'm able to navigate this. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you. There's a big difference between education, step by step, memorize it, and revelation. Education, you can forget. Revelation, you can never forget. becomes a part of you. The Holy Spirit breathes that. That's why the scripture says all scripture is God-breathed. That's revelation. Inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God might be adequate and equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so the Holy Spirit is your advocate, and he's going to guide you. And then all of a sudden, did you know that in a nanosecond, he can give you reams of information? Just like, I got it. What's that? It's not education. It's revelation. And you'll never be the same when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you. It's like, wow, I'm different now because of that. And that's why it's important when you're reading the Bible, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're not a Christian, it's mumbo jumbo. It's like, what is this? But the Holy Spirit has been given to you and me as a tutor, and he guides us into all truth.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled The Absolute Truth by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion on tomorrow's broadcast. We have a few extra minutes today, so let's enjoy the music of the New Hope Singers. now, for all the family at New Hope, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.